Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Roku has introduced many a new television venture over the course of this year. One of the newest and very important is UKW Media, a pair of services addressing urban audiences. Co-founders Doug Holloway and Judy Kim join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also on tap, Bridgerton returns, Google's CES pullout, our final classic trivia segment of 2021, and TWBT remembers 2021, the people in front of behind the camera who passed away this year. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in on the Monday after Christmas, 2021, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. On this Monday after Christmas 2021, we welcome you to our next to last episode, later than usual, of the program All About TV's current and future. We welcome you. Thank you for tuning us in at this hour of the day, late afternoon, early evening. Usually we are on 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Got a great program in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, ring it in, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. No chat room today. It's taking an extended holiday vacation, and we hope to have it back for you on our last episode of the year this Friday. While the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune in screen. Follow the instructions. We'll be live with you. Our duo from UKW Media will join us live from Los Angeles and elsewhere after these news notes. Bridgerton fans can expect the return of Netflix's mega saga next year. The Shonda Rhimes crafted series will begin season 2 March 25th, and season 1 of a Queen Catherine spinoff series is anticipated to begin by next December. Rhimes has a number of other Netflix creations in various stages of development and production, including Inventing Anna, slated to premiere late February. That's from Shonda Rhimes and her production company, Shondaland. We're 1 week away from CES 2022, making its return to an in-person exhibition in Las Vegas, after going all virtual last January. As more exhibitors come in, more big tech companies are canceling their Vegas representation, the latest. Still, CES organizers believe 2,200-plus exhibitors will be on their show floor, up from 1,800 confirmed at the start of this month. ESPN's lineup of pre-New Year's Day college football bowl games keeps shrinking. Today's military bowl matchup of Boston College and East Carolina is a no-go. Ditto, the Fenway Bowl set for Wednesday between Virginia and SMU. Rationale for both cancellations? Coronavirus positive tests impacting Boston College and Virginia players. That makes 4 games back on ESPN's schedule. Earlier, we had the Hawaii Bowl that was supposed to be on Christmas Eve. That got canceled, and before that, the Bahamas Bowl. Meanwhile, this hour, CBS's annual presentation of the Sun Bowl from Tempe, Arizona, is in jeopardy, with organizers scrambling to find a replacement for Miami, which bowed out over the weekend. Their game takes place Friday afternoon. Now some quickies before our guests. Peacock unscripted miniseries Joe Montana, Cool Under Pressure, will premiere January 6th. Season 6 of Netflix's popular and Emmy-winning Queer Eye program will roll out Friday ahead of New Year's Eve filming elsewhere. And National Hockey League games and coverage of them on national, regional, and local TV resume tomorrow. And that is news notes for today. As we say at the top, it's been a big year for Roku. They're no longer just channel or content carriers. They're channel and content makers. They've put in the interactive arena, they put on Food Network Kitchen last May. They've also put on casual games you can play at home. And recently, 2 months ago, they invited developers to create interactive applications that they hope to put on next year through a special developer kit. And then, of course, there's the original content, the Privy shows that they inherited, which they're now making new episodes of, the Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas special that we told you about at the start of the month, and their plans to create 50 new television series between now and the end of 2023. And they've also put on a lot of new channels on both Roku and on the Roku channel. And when it comes to Roku, about 2 months ago, they put together, without much fanfare, a pair of new multicultural ventures addressing urban audiences. One is called UKW Media, aimed at families. The other is called Urban TV, URBN-TV, aimed at adults 18+. Joining us live to talk about boat services, where they're at and where they're going next year, is the co-founder and chief operating officer joining us live from Los Angeles, Judy Kim. Judy, welcome in. Happy after holidays to you.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me on. And Douglas, I'm sure he's going to join in a minute. So.
All right. Well, we will welcome him when he comes aboard. Judy, first of all, how has it been going these first 2 months with both of these services?
So actually, UKW Media, the family and kid channel, did a soft launch about a little over a year ago, and that's been going great. We are pretty excited. The audience is growing, and our ads started running, and so we're getting more content, and it's just been really fun. So that was what led us to launch what Douglas had been working on for many years, which is Urban-TV, and that is up and running now, and it's, you know, just off to a great start.
In the press release that came out about 2 months ago, it says that both channels are aiming to do a number of things, to share stories, to dispel stereotypes, and shape a new narrative about people of color. What new narrative are we talking about?
Well, one of the things, so both of us are people of color. Douglas is African American. I'm Asian American. I actually grew up in Hawaii. And one of the things, you know, we noticed is that there isn't a lot of content that's directed at essentially it's not just an ethnic audience, but it's really, as Douglas describes it, the psychographic of the urban audience, people who are used to, you know, living in big cities, dealing with many people of many different ethnicities and different backgrounds, could be international. So it's just, it's really, and yet there's a very American sensibility as well, which is different than, you know, say somebody from France or somebody from, you know, a black person who grew up in England is going to be different. So we try to keep that in mind as we acquire content, and what's interesting to us as far as content is particularly, I can speak more towards the UKW, the Kid and Family Channel, which has been my focus. You know, you don't see, and this is a struggle we've had, a challenge for the channel, people don't make content for people of color. They make content for, a broader audience that may include people of color, but it isn't necessarily focusing on or culturally relevant sometimes to them. And so we're constantly looking for content that really reflects the experiences of people growing up in America of any color, you know, whether, you know, you're a person of color or not a person of color. And so in our case for UKW Media, it is specifically kid and family targeted. It is a purposely rather wholesome channel. We try to be careful to screen for, you know, nudity, curse words, things like that. We're not necessarily faith-based, but we're not against faith-based content. So the what we think parents might like their kids to watch. Nice, safe content. That's kind of my theory.
Mm-hmm. We are expecting Doug Holloway, who is the co-founder and chief executive officer of this enterprise, to join us any minute. Doug, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're ready to go on the air, we'll get you on the air. Judy, what has been the reaction from the creative community of color to what you and Doug are doing? Are you at the point where they are giving you proposals for possible series? Are they at the point where you might be able to commission shows? What's been the relationship in terms of trying to get the content and trying to get the creators on your side?
The creators are 100% behind the idea. The hardest thing for the family channel is, you know, a lot of particularly independent filmmakers or filmmakers starting off who want to make a name for themselves, you know, the first thing on their mind is not necessarily, oh, I want to make a family show. Right? They want to make something cool, edgy, political, you know, social justice, which we have on our channel and which we are 100% supportive of. But we also just want, you know, that great little after-school program that kids can watch. So the hard thing is balancing that, but the creators have been very receptive. I won't say easy to get content, but they're very welcoming of a channel that is looking for content that they're creating with people of color or by people of color. And I think one of the important things for us is, or at least, yeah, I mean, I would say for both of us, I feel like I can speak for Douglas as well on this point. Sometimes the perception is, oh, well, you're a person of color, so you must want to do a social justice piece. And you know what? That is true, and we do, and we want to have outlets and distribution for those social justice pieces that are very important, documentaries. And, you know, we have a documentary called A Lovely Day about a kids workshop in Oakland, kids who are, like, given a voice through hip-hop. But we also want to show that filmmakers of color can do other things. They can make, you know, mainstream romantic comedies. They can make a thriller, they can make a horror movie. They are not limited to, oh, well, you're Black, so you need to make Black content that appeals to Black people. No, they can make content that appeals to many, many different people. It may have people of color featured in it, or it may not. And that is okay either way with us. We're just trying to show they're just filmmakers. Often filmmakers who don't have the connections, who don't have the access, who don't have the opportunity that, you know, some other filmmakers might have. And so we try to give them that foot in the door, basically.
Mm-hmm. You're hearing Judy Kim. She is the co-founder and chief operating officer of UKW Media. They have two channels currently on Roku and hopefully soon on other smart TV sets and smart devices. We'll get to that point shortly. We are awaiting Doug Holloway, who is the co-founder and chief executive officer of both services, and as soon as we get him on the line, we will bring him directly to you. And they're both with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, special late afternoon, early evening edition of the program about TV's current and future. We thank you for joining us, our next last episode of the year, and you have a question or comment for both of our guests, make sure you give us a call right now, 646-652-2906. On our final episode of the year, at our regular time, that's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, we will have a very special guest. We haven't had him in a long time. He is Steven Rosenbaum, former cable executive. He is now the executive director of the New York City Media Lab. And between the two of us, we'll talk about where TV will go in 2022 in a lot of different directions. Also, we'll have our top five episodes of the year, the rundown of the episodes you liked the most and replayed the most on Blog Talk Radio. So be sure to join us for our end-of-year episode. That's on New Year's Eve Day, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Judy, in terms of the programming, where are you going to for content? Are you going to, let's say, try to get webisodes, especially with scripted series or unscripted series and documentaries? Are you going to different libraries? Are other networks helping you out? What's been the story in terms of trying to acquire the content?
Mostly we've gone to independent, to the filmmakers themselves, sometimes through festivals, sometimes through, I'm a producer as well, so sometimes through just contacts that I know, or, you know, once people hear that, you know, what we're doing, it's really sort of unique. And the nice thing now is that Urban-TV is launched as well. So even content, the hard thing is sometimes, you know, if the content isn't, I'll call it clean enough, like we're pretty much, UKW Media is PG and under. It's a place that I feel like a parent could sit their child in front of the television with the remote and not worry that they're going to see something inappropriate. And where Urban-TV will play, you know, any kind of up to R-rated and down to G. So it's a broader spectrum, still with the same flavor of urban and ethnic audiences. And it's a mix of ethnicities. It's not purely African-American. It's Asian American, you know, Latinx, I guess is the proper term. And then we actually have a third channel that launched shortly after Urban-TV, which is G-Pop TV. And that's really kind of a gamer, you know, culty, edgy, sort of sci-fi channel vibe that is millennial targeted, Gen Z. And so we kind of cover the spectrum. And so now if anyone approaches us, basically, we have a place for their content to go that is appropriate for the audience they're looking for.
Now, how did Roku get involved with the service? With putting, are they putting all three services on, or just the two that we've been talking about for the most part this half hour?
Yeah, Roku actually, the way that Roku works, so they have their own channel, and then they have a section, I guess you would call it, where independent third parties can launch their own channels. And historically, it wasn't all that easy because they use a different type of technology that, you know, more people I think are familiar with, maybe what goes into an Android or, you know, type of distribution. So Roku differentiated itself that way, and that limited somewhat. But there are other services platforms that allow you to connect into Roku, and that's basically what we did. We started up our channels, and Roku is just one of the outlets. We actually also are on Amazon Prime, and we're working on an Amazon Fire Feed and Apple TV, and that will just take a little bit more technology to get launched.
And what about other smart TV devices, like, for example, NVIDIA Shield, or in the case of smart TV sets, getting on Samsung sets, LG, Sony, as well as the new Amazon TV sets that were launched a couple of months ago, as well as the X-Class sets from Comcast?
That's something we would love. Excuse me. Right. We would love to do. We would love to be basically embedded into the television, like you know, people embed OS, you know, operating systems on your computer. If anybody's out there that can connect us to one of those television manufacturers or whoever it is that actually puts you on the TV, yeah, we'd love that connection.
Now, this third channel, Depop, is that from both of you, or did another independent content maker come and say, we'd like to hook this format with what the two of you are doing?
No, it was always kind of something that I had been working on. It because of the type of content, it just took a little while, and I'm still trying to acquire more content for it. I'd like to find more anime, more gamer-targeted, you know. Because with the gaming world, so much of it is based on intellectual property that is owned by one of the big gaming companies, so or big developers, big publishers. So it can get very spendy, and that's been the issue. But it's growing slowly. I mean, horror is out there, and, you know, we welcome more horror for that channel, sci-fi, action. We have a great martial arts movie. It's actually Vietnamese, called Luc Van Tien. But it is the best kung fu movie that I've seen in 10 years, like, easily. The person who wrote it, he was on Jackie Chan's stunt team, and the movie is just that. It is, like, it's got great action, number one, great martial arts action, but there's a Vietnamese legend that's woven into it, and there's a love story between, you know, a warrior from 1,000 years ago and the love interest who was kidnapped by the evil warlord and brought down to earth, and now he's trying to find her. The good warrior is trying to find his love. And it's built in modern day Vietnam, or it was shot in modern day Vietnam. And, you know, there's the funny sidekick, and it's great. It's got, you know, action, comedy, romance. It's a movie I love.
So. UKW Media is now running three services. That's UKW Media, that's Urban TV, and this Depop service that we are hearing about for the first time, but I'm hearing about it the same way that Judy is talking about it as well. Judy Kim is the co-founder and chief operating officer of this venture. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We're still awaiting Doug Holloway, the co-founder and chief executive officer of the venture. Formerly, by the way, he was with USA Network, executive for many years with NBC Universal, as well as more recently Ion Media Networks. And again, as soon as we can get Doug on the line, we'll put him on. If we can't put him on today, we will invite him to come on our show this Friday. And this is Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. 37 degrees coming toward the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Judy, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Next week, the first full week of 2022, a And coming your way on our first episode of the new year, that's a week from today, we'll have Brian Richardson. He's one of the executive producers of NBC's popular series American Ninja Warrior, about to start a new season. And in addition to having him on, you'll meet one of the contestants for this upcoming season. His name is Anthony Trucks. He is a former National Football League player. Both of them will be with us on our first episode of the new year. That's a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. And on our second episode of the new year, that's on Friday, January 7th, we'll have the executive producers of the new CBS series, Clinch Sam. It's their first scripted drama series of the new year. It's a combination of medical drama, workplace drama, and relationship drama. Oh, yeah, family drama, too. You'll hear from executive producers Katie Welsh, Jenny Snyder-Ehrman, and Joanna Klein. And we'll also have one of the executive producers of Dirty Jobs, the reboot of the very popular Mike Rowe unscripted series that ran for years on Discovery Channel. That's also coming back early next week. They'll all be with us on next Friday's episode, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Judy, all three of these services are ad-supported. What kind of reaction are you getting from advertisers so far in joining in?
You know, we thought that there would be, given all the media around, we want to find more black businesses to support, we haven't had that outpouring from the advertisers, believe it or not, which you would think, hey, they've got a multicultural channel that's targeting ethnic audiences, you know, that you would think that would be a win for them. But it's been, you know, sort of just general, I think, general population, general advertising. It's not necessarily been geared, and we haven't specifically gotten inquiries about, hey, you know, we're interested in advertising on towards ethnic audiences, you know, to meet our, because all of them were talking about that, supporting black businesses, you know, after all the riots and the protests. And I don't know, I'd like to see that translate into dollars. I mean, I'd like, you know, put your money where your mouth is. That's what I'd like to say out there, that challenge. So I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I think that's, you know, there's often that loss in translation.
Well, certainly, Judy, we've had people like Byron Allen and some of the African-American-owned television services start to talk to the major ad agencies about devoting a part of their budget to African-American-owned services, not just BET or TV One that can be owned by, let's say, Viacom, CBS or Comcast, whatever, but also devote budgets specifically for African-American-owned TV and other media.
Right. Yep. And I think that is, it'll be interesting to see how successful that is, because like I said, you know, for me, and I come from the studio world as well. My background is I worked at Warner Brothers and Paramount altogether for a total of, 15 years. But in between, I started independent producing. And so, you know, so I know oftentimes that what the corporate sort of ideal is doesn't necessarily translate, you know, when you get down to the spending budget. And so I'm hoping that really aren't just giving lip service to the idea of supporting, you know, businesses for people of color. For our channel as well, I think you had asked this earlier and I didn't really answer the question, which is, you know, are we commissioning any work? We would like to get to that point because I, especially as an independent filmmaker myself, feel that it is really important if you're going to make quality content, if you're going to have quality content, part of it is you have to help people develop it. And a big part of for independent filmmakers and particularly independent filmmakers of color, it is hard to access money. You don't have the money. So they're incredibly inventive and incredibly creative, and they get amazing production value for the, you know, for the budgets that they work on. But they're often limited by the budgets that they can access or, you know, friends and family or charging up their credit cards. So it would be great if we have sponsors that, you know, want to support some content by people of color. I mean, that's an idea. I've, you know, much as PBS used to be sponsored by, you know, big corporate, I won't say which companies, but you know them, you know, sponsored by such and such. And we'd be really open to doing something like that, where they could have I won't say, I don't know that they're interested in sort of editorializing the content, but certainly supporting the making and production of content that features people of color or shows off the talents of filmmakers of color. That would be a great place for us to be.
Given the fact that we are wrapping up 2021, which has turned out to be an amazing leap up in diversity on so many levels, we are seeing more creators of color get shows off the ground, especially first-time creators. We're now seeing more of these creators have program development deals with the likes of a Warner Brothers, a Netflix, an Amazon, a Disney or Hulu, a Paramount Plus, and so forth. And we're also seeing breakthroughs in terms of crowdfunding and cryptocurrency and crowdfunding sites like WeFunder and CineSpark as a way to get new networks and new content off the ground. Do you see UKW as this upcoming year unfolds to try to encourage, let's say, content that you can pick up through crowdfunding and equity crowdfunding, through blockchain and cryptocurrency, through maybe funded by NFTs, unique ways to get new series off the ground?
For us to work with them in terms of trying to finance that content, is that the question?
Right. Finance it, promote it, market it, and get it ultimately on your channels.
So far, I have to say, we have focused on the traditional means of trying to connect people to potential investors. I mean, because I had worked in the independent film world, I have a couple of investors that are looking for specific types of content. And if I run across a filmmaker that has content that I think might be interesting for these investors, you know, we connect them and we try to, you know, kind of help them along, but we're not necessarily directly involved in it. But yeah, I haven't looked at some of the new ways. I've thought about it. Crowdfunding for sure. I'm actually producing a documentary along with, I mean, I'm one of the executive producers. Dave Zappone is the main executive producer, and he's produced a number of these Star Trek documentaries. The one we're working on right now is Star Trek Voyager. And we're just in production doing all the interviews now. And that was crowdfunded. It was the largest crowdfunding Kickstarter for a documentary, I guess, was what we're told. So it raised over $1 million crowdfunding.
Well, you never know. Absolutely. Again, the company is called UKW Media, and now there are three networks that are running on Roku TV, on Amazon Fire TV, maybe soon on the Amazon television sets that started selling about 2 months ago, and hopefully other smart TV sets and devices. And those services are UKW Media, which is the Kids and Family channel, Urban TV, URBN-TV, which is for adults 18 up, and then the Depop service that is more into genre television, fantasy, science fiction, horror, et cetera. And that's aimed also at a 18 and up audience, and all of them aimed at the urban marketplace. If you want more details about all these services, we have three websites you can go to. One is ukwmedia.com, www.urban-tv.com, and roku.com. They'll all give you information. And what we'll do is, Judy, sorry that Doug cannot be with us today for whatever the reason, but we are going to invite him to come on our show Friday, so we can continue the conversation. Judy Kim, thank you again for being with us. Congratulations to you and Doug and all your crew on getting these channels off the ground. And hopefully 2022 is going to be a breakout year for these services on Roku and elsewhere. And incidentally, if you have new original series or major documentaries, the original content, we'd love to invite the creators to come on our show at some point during the new year.
Oh, I'm sure they'd love that. I mean, several of them, you know, they are not used to that, but we do Instagram Lives every other week, and most of them are very open to it. There are a couple that I'm sure would be great for your show, and so, yeah, just reach out to us, and I can give you a list, or I don't know how you want to connect them, but thank you so much for having, well, me on, and Douglas, I'm sure, will be happy to attend. I know this was on his calendar, so probably he had some kind of issue come up as a last-minute emergency. But it was great, and I look forward to a great 2022, hopefully, for our channels and for your show. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Judy. You, Doug, everybody, have a wonderful new year ahead. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Judy Kim, the co-founder and chief operating officer of UKW Meeting, join us live from Los Angeles. When we come back after the top of the hour, our final classic trivia segment of the year, and then tomorrow we televise remembers our annual salute to the people in front of and behind the TV camera who passed away this year. We will celebrate them and honor them. And believe me, we have an amazing group of people that completed life this past year. We'll get to all of that. And if we have time, I saw something on ESPN2 last night that was a very interesting alternative to Sunday Night Football. All that coming after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com. Together, reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tomorrow, it's Groovy Tuesday on Blog Talk Radio, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Groovy Tuesday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of our next to last edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, the Pro Bowl Live TV's current and future, on this final Monday of 2021. Sana, I'm with you live from New York. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Normally, we are with you at 3 hours earlier, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We went a little bit late afternoon, early evening today so that we can accommodate our guests in the last half hour. And by the way, we'd like to invite you for any feedback you've got on our half hour or so ahead. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number good anyway, you're catching us the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. 37 degrees at the top of the hour. Coming up shortly, our final classic trivia segment of the year, and then Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers 2021. We'll get to all of that, but first some words from our fine sponsor, Audible.com. Have you heard about Billy Summers? He is a hitman who's got a lot of things on his mind. And Billy Summers is also the title of the brand new audiobook by the master of suspense, horror and other things, Stephen King. And that can be your introduction to Audible.com if you decide to go for a one-month trial. Now, Audible.com is still the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, information, and digital inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. All you have to do is sign up for the one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. When you do, you get a one-month trial. You get a free audiobook to hear. You get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Plus, you get health and wellness information while it lasts. Also, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one, and that includes one of the growing catalog of Audible originals. That's original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one-woman and one-man performances. And if you decide, hey, I don't want the trial, just get me a subscription. Well, for your first 3 months, while the supply lasts, you can get your first 3 months of a subscription for just $5.95 a month. And that is a great deal off the normal monthly price. So for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, audible.com programming makes a sensational gift for you or someone you love anytime during the year ahead. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. It's our final such segment of the year. And I'm sorry to say we didn't come up with a winner after 2 weeks of offering this final question for the year. On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? On what ABC series did John Ritter play a cop? The answer, Hooper Man. It was on ABC from 1987 to 1989. Ritter plays a cop, specifically a police inspector in San Francisco. The show was created by the folks behind L.A. Law, Stephen Boschko and Terry Louise Fisher. And Gregory Hoblit, who was a major Stephen Boschko collaborator on NYPD Doom before that Hill Street Blues, he won an Emmy Award for directing in a comedy series in 1988. After the end of the first season. So once again, Hooper Man was the show that we had in mind. That was the ABC series where John Ritter played a cop. We're sorry we didn't have a winner. We had five prizes in play. The good news is that we will bring those five prizes to our first classic trivia question of 2022. We'll have that 1 week from today. Incidentally, want to congratulate all the classic trivia winners of this year. I think we had like 15, 16 winners in toto. And we're looking forward to having those five prizes, including the 20 years of Christmas with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir DVD. That special was on PBS last Monday night. and also on Brigham Young University Television the following Thursday. We also have the Freak Weathers T-shirt. We've got the crayons from the Loud House series, popular series on Nickelodeon. And we've got two big books for you, The Unofficial Hocus Pocus Cookbook and Betty White, One Remarkable Moment in Extraordinary Life. That's a great prize package for you. And we will bring it to our first question of the year that's coming your way 1 week from today. We'll have the question for you on next Monday's episode. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address with the email, so if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of day next Monday, we will post the question the following day, that morning that is, on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook on Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. So once again, Ben, congratulations to all the classic trivia question winners of 2021, and be one of our first winners of 2022 1 week from today. Every year around this time, Turner Classic Movies does a featurette that's one of the best they do year after year. It's called TCM Remembers and is the most comprehensive in memoriam featurette of its kind anywhere. It showcases the people in front of and behind the motion picture camera who passed away this year. It's always done to a melancholy, wistful, very appropriate song. This year, it's to a sort of offshoot of the popular R.E.M. hit, Shiny Happy People, with a Michael Stipe-type vocal throughout the feature. And it's always, year after year, an incredible featurette. It's so comprehensive. Frankly, I think the Oscar people should not do their own thing. Just hire the TCM people to do it, because it's always well done. You never get an issue of somebody being left out of that feature. And in fact, it's so flexible that if somebody does pass away between the time the featurette is released and shown on TCM and the end of the year, they can get it in. They did that with Peter O'Toole a couple of years ago. So anyway, if you missed it on Turner Classic Movies, it is available on YouTube right now. And like I said, it's really wonderful. Oh, 6-7 years running, we've been so inspired by what TCM does that we have put together our own similar segment called Tomorrow Will Be Televised, or TWBT Remembers. And that's what we're going to do right now. It's our tribute, our celebration, our appreciation to the people in front of and behind the television camera who completed life on Earth this year. Usually, we have both the people who are off camera, executives, show creators, show producers, etc., and then the people on camera. This year, we're going to flip the switch. There were so many people, an incredible variety of TV actors and personalities who passed away this year, we felt we had to go right to the on-camera people. So we're going to do that today. So here we go, starting on camera with our annual segment, Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers 2021. When the NFL Today started on CBS in 1975, the cast was immediately acclaimed. Brent Musburger, Phyllis George, and in the analyst chair, Irv Cross, the first African-American or first person of color ever to be in that spot on a live pregame, or for that matter, on a live coverage of the National Football League. Irv Cross, over that decade, really honored himself by just doing his job and doing it great, and whatever a CBS asked him to do, he did it, and he did it beautifully. And there are a lot of commentators and play-by-play people of color who really owe their existence to what Irv Cross pioneered from 1975 to around 1985 on CBS. Peter Mark Richmond, wonderful character actor on episodic television in the 60s to the 80s. At one point, he had his own television series, Kane's 100. It ran a year. It was an MGM series. You can see some of the episodes on YouTube. He also became a co-star in the early 70s on the ABC series Longstreet, starring James Franciscus. Michael Constantine, another episodic character performer and guest shots all over the place, including a memorable Twilight Zone program called I Am the Night, Color Me Black. Well, in the late 60s, he won an Emmy Award as Best Supporting Actor playing the principal on the groundbreaking dramedy Room 222. Gavin MacLeod passed away this year. Yes, Gavin MacLeod, the captain of the Love Boat. And before that, Murray on the Murray Tyler Moore Show. Wonderful actor, became a spokesperson later on for cruises featuring people in love and just wanting to have a great time. Lee Aker, one of the first TV child stars in the 1950s. He was Rusty. Many of the people grew up with him as Rusty, the kid and the pal of Rin Tin Tin on ABC. Remember Lee Aker as Rusty telling Rin Tin Tin, "Yo, Winnie!" Yes, a lot of people grew up with that show. Lee Aker, wonderful child personality. Kara Williams won a supporting actress Oscar nomination for her role in The Defiant Ones, starring Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis. But in the early 1960s, she became one of the top female comedy stars through CBS shows Pete and Gladys and then The Kara Williams Show. Yvonne Wilder was one of the dancers in the movie version of West Side Story. Then she became an episodic TV actress, including for one season a role on the popular comedy Operation Petticoat. Jessica Walter made her TV debut as a co-star of William Shatner on the short-lived 1965 lawyer drama produced here in New York for the people. Later on, she became a wonderful TV and film actress and later won an Emmy Award for her wonderful work on the first Fox and Netflix series, Arrested Development. Markie Post started her career in television behind the scenes with Chuck Barris on some of his television shows, but later on became the co-star of Night Court. And also more recently, she had a memorable turn in an arc of Chicago PD. Remember Norm MacDonald, one of the former Weekend Update anchor people? Later on, he would do stand-up comedy specials and much, much more. And then there was Jackie Mason, one of the funniest people ever and one of the most insightful people ever. He wanted to be a rabbi. He ended up being one of the top variety show performers on The Ed Sullivan Show, Dean Martin, other places, and then did a wonderful series of HBO specials based on his one-person Broadway shows. George Segal, when he stopped being one of the top performers, he turned to television, and he did such shows as the original ER and Just Shoot Me and much, much more. James Hampton, remember him? He was the bugler on F Troop. Other comedies followed. Alan Coulter, wonderful announcer on game shows such as To Tell the Truth and The Money Maze in the 1970s and 80s. Also was the announcer for Sports Channel America and Sports Channel and USA Network as well. And then had everlasting fame in his role as the announcer and on-camera personality, the sidekick for David Letterman on Late Show on CBS. Clarence Williams III, one of the Mod Squad. Later on, memorable turn with Prince in Purple Rain and other things too. Gregory Sierra, one of Barney Miller's fellow cops. Later on, the original cop on Miami Vice before his role was taken by Edward James Olmos. Joanne Linville, wonderful character actress, did many a episodic television show over the course of her incredible decades-long career. The Wire wouldn't be The Wire without Michael K. Williams, other shows as well in movies. Every time this man was on camera, film or TV, he gave a fantastic performance. Ed Asner, another character actor who made good as a co-star in the Mary Tyler Moore Show and one of the few co-stars of that show to have his own series as a drama, Lou Grant. He won Emmy Awards for the same role in both situations. Eddie Mecca, remember him? Laverne and Shirley, the tap dancing co-star, wonderful talent, also on Broadway too. Dean Stockwell, movie star as a child, also did roles on television when he was growing up, and then later on he was the sidekick to Scott Bakula on Quantum Leap, Emmy nominated for that role. When it comes to wonderful performers, Cicely Tyson holds no peer. She got her TV start on East Side, West Side, groundbreaking series in the early 1960s opposite George C. Scott. And then following her sensational, what should have been her Oscar-winning role in Sounder, which was just, by the way, played about a week ago on Turner Classic Movies, she then had her Emmy-winning performance in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, one of the great TV movies ever. Somebody should repeat that movie in her honor. She was one amazing talent from first to last. Tommy Kirk, one of Disney's popular teenage stars. He was also a TV personality on the Mickey Mouse Club. And then there was Betty Lynn. You might not know her by name, but you should know her as Don Knotts' girlfriend on The Andy Griffith Show. Tanya Roberts, at one point, one of Charlie's Angels. And then Willard Scott, former AU graduate, radio personality, then became the original Ronald McDonald on TV stations in Washington, D.C., then for many years, the weather forecaster. He wasn't really a forecaster, but he was one entertaining weather person on WRC, the NBC station Washington, and that led to his greatest gig, The Today Show. Willard Scott was a really charitable, amazing person. I had the chance to meet him when I was at American University, when every year he would step out on the quad and be part of WAMU AM, the campus radio station's annual marathon, 5 days of raising funds from students and others for DC Children's Hospital. Still one of the great medical institutions around. Henry Darrow, one of the co-stars of both The High Chaparral and later the Zorro series, starring Duncan Regeer on the Family Channel. Gloria Henry, Dennis DeMance's mom, passed away this year. So did soap opera stars John Gabriel and John Riley. Yaphet Kotto succeeded James O. Jones on the Broadway stage with The Great White Hope, but also made his mark on television, first in episodic guest shot roles, and then later in the 1990s as part of Homicide, Life on the Street. Val Basoglio, you remember him as John Rafoso's father on Saturday Night Fever, and also one of the colleagues of Quincy ME, hosted by or starring Jack Klugman. Most recently, Mike Nesmith, one of the people behind the Monkees, a wonderful talent in his own right, and he became even better of a talent after his 2 years with the Monkees. Suzanne Douglas, wonderful dancer, then actress, the co-star with Robert Johnson on The Parent Trap. Charles Grodin, a popular movie star, then one of CNBC's talk personalities. Another great actor passed away this year who did it all. Theater with his one-man show. He really invented the one-man show with Mark Twain Tonight. And then on television as the senator, which he won the Emmy Award for. He was great in made-for-TV movies like That Certain Summer. And also in movies, too. The brilliant Hal Holbrook. Cloris Leachman, another person who swerved between movies and television. Became Phyllis on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, also got her own series as well when the Mary Tyler Moore Show wrapped up, before it wrapped up, and then, of course, won the Oscar, Best Supporting Actress, for a heartbreaking performance in The Last Picture Show. Jane Withers, child star on radio and on television for many years, she was Josephine the Plumber for Comic Cleanser. Can't forget her, nor Christopher Plummer, who, after movies and the Broadway stage, did the TV series Counter-Strike, one of USA Network's first dramas. Peter Scolari, bosom buddies with Tom Hanks, and the later on co-star Emmy winner on Newhart. William Smith, a terrific actor in Westerns, including the 1960s NBC series Laredo. Stuart Damon, first up the Champions in the summer of 1969, and then one of the top daytime drama stars, for the most part, on General Hospital. Arlene Galanka, wonderful in comedy albums and also in many different TV shows, including The Andy Griffith Show and its sequel, Mayberry RFD. Robert Hogan, great character actor. He had a memorable turn as a hater of people on a very memorable Law and Order Special Victims Unit that was presented, by the way, in the marathon yesterday on USA Network. Terrific actor, both for comedy and for drama. John Paragon, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Remember, he was one of the writers on that show and also one of the co-stars. Another great young actor from the 1950s passed away this year, Johnny Crawford, Mark on The Rifleman opposite Chuck Connors, one of the first child stars to be nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Emmy in a drama. And The Rifleman is still one of the best Westerns ever made. And speaking of teenage stars, Dustin Diamond, Screech on Saved by the Bell. Larry King, the master of the celebrity talk, of the celebrity talk host. Nobody could do an interview with anybody like Larry King could do, first on radio and then on television for years on CNN. Mira Filon, wonderful science fiction character actress on Babylon 5, other shows as well. One of the best journalists ever, Roger Mudd, many years, CBS News, the substitute anchor for the CBS News of Walter Cronkite, later went to NBC, and then went to the History Channel, as well as PBS. All those people passed away this year. What an amazing group of talent. Now for the folks off camera. Larry McMurtry, the writer of Lonesome Dove, Broken Trail, other wonderful Westerns, both for books and then later adapted into wonderful TV and movies. And yes, he also was the co-writer of the Oscar-winning film Brokeback Mountain. Mika Theorakis, terrific composer. You know his movie work, Zorba the Greek, Z and others, but he also did some television work as well in the course of his career. Joan Micklin Silver, terrific filmmaker, one of the first female filmmakers to make it, but she also did excellent episodic work on television over the decades. Jacques Demois, fantastic dancer, was a regular feature on Omnibus and on other television programs for decades. One of the very best, and also was one of the first dancers to develop programs for kids and getting them to have a lifelong love of dance. Richard Donner, before he became the director of Superman and Lethal Weapon, he was a TV director, did a lot of great shows, including the classic Twilight Zone episode, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. When it comes to casting television and film, very few people could do it and do it consistently for decades as Lynn Stallmaster. We would spend the next 15 minutes talking about every single show and movie that this wonderful talent did behind the scenes. He was the grandmaster of casting for television and movies. We told you recently about Stephen Sondheim, the fact that Stephen Sondheim, before he was one of the greatest musical theater composers ever, and of course, the man who wrote the lyrics for West Side Story, which is now back in film with the brilliant new version by Steven Spielberg, that he was a TV writer. He started his career with his partner George Oppenheimer on Copper, which ran for two seasons on CBS. That's the adaptation of the popular ghost tale about the Kirbys, the ghost with the most, played by then husband and wife team Robert Sterling and Ann Jeffries, always ghosting Leo G. Carroll as Cosmo Topper. Steven Spielberg wrote 10, 11 scripts for the first season, then left to become part of musical theater history. Joanne Rogers. You may not know the name unless you know about Mr. Rogers. That's right, Fred Rogers. She was the widow of Fred Rogers and kept his production company going. Michael Apted, before he became the director of Coal Miner's Daughter and other wonderful movies, some of which were Oscar nominated, he did a series for British television called basically Blank Up, where he followed a group of kids when they were 7 years old, went into their lives when they were 7, 14, 20 up, 21 up, etc. It was one of the great documentary series of all time in television. 7 up first, then 14 up, 21 up, and so on. And what he chronicled with these kids into adulthood is really something remarkable and something special. He was a fantastic documentary and scripted director. Alison Greenspan, she was the producer of the recent ABC series For Life, also had other great shows, Come On, where they lasted a season or more. She was a dynamite producer and writer. In 1990 or 91, Fox put on one of the first reality television series, Cops. It ran for more than two decades there, later on Lifetime. Now it's back on Fox Nation. John Langley was the co-creator of the series with his partner at the time, Malcolm Barber. John Langley passed away this year. Ann Beatz was a terrific writer for Saturday Night Live, later did her own series, the critically acclaimed and ran too short, Square Pegs on CBS. Jamie Torres made television history by being the first woman to run a television network, ABC, later her own production company. She passed away also this year. And over this weekend, the promising director who won an Emmy Award for Big Little Lies, one of the best miniseries in recent years, co-starred with a cast that included Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman, passed away from a vacation he took over the Christmas weekend. Jean-Marc Vallée also did Sharp Objects, the Amy Adams miniseries for HBO that was on last year, and also had a production company contract with HBO Max for both writing and producing. Over the course of today, many tributes to Jean-Marc Vallée's career have come in from Witherspoon, from Kidman, from other people he worked with, and they all say the same thing. He was a very special human being who was on his way to becoming one of the top talents in both television and film. Incidentally, one of his movie credits was the film that Reese Witherspoon, a couple of years ago, won Academy Award nomination for Best Actress for. And finally, I want to tell you about two people who were both on camera and off camera in their careers. One was somebody who lived life for more than a century, Norman Lloyd. In the 1940s, he became known for a role as Fry, the saboteur in the Alfred Hitchcock classic of the same name. And a lot of you, I'm sure, remember one of the great Alfred Hitchcock set pieces of all time, Norman Lloyd as Fry falling off the Statue of Liberty, basically after trying to hang on by literally a thread. If you haven't seen that film and this end of this movie, it's one of the great Alfred Hitchcock sequences of all time. In the 1950s, Lloyd reunited with Hitchcock on his popular weekly series, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And then when the show went from being a half hour to the hour-long Alfred Hitchcock Hour, he became executive producer, and he steered the final three seasons beautifully. Then, in mid-1980s, after other TV projects off-camera, he went back on camera as one of the co-stars of the award-winning series, Emmy and Peabody-winning, St. Elsewhere. And finally, someone who achieved fame both on the national level and the local level, both in front of and behind the camera, Sonny Fox. In the 1950s, he was a game show host on programs like The $64,000 Challenge, and he also was a pioneer in children's television, first with a series that ran several seasons on network TV called Let's Take a Trip. And then when his game show career went sour, he decided to get involved with a local TV station here in the Big Apple called WNEW-TV and do a four-hour weekly Sunday morning series called Wonderama. It was the transforming television series for kids. For the first time, kids had the opportunity to really view the world through all sorts of games, exclusive interviews with people, with government leaders, and with leaders from all walks of society. Demonstrates as well, too. It was as wicked a show as you'll ever find on local children's television. And he did so well that Metro Media, the owner of WNEW at the time, put it on their other stations in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere. At the same time, he also did a Saturday morning show for WNEW called Just for Fun. Those of you who are in New York, you know the blue team and the gold team. You was raised in the 60s. It was such a fun show on Saturday mornings, 2 or 3 hours every time, lots of great games for great prizes. And for anyone who was in those blue and gold sections rooting on their fellow teammates, it was a thrill. When his WNEW tenure was over, he went back to network television. He became vice president of children's programming at NBC, got some wonderful shows on the air, including Hot Dog, which won the Peabody Award for children's programming, and in addition, did some TV camera work. And the 1980s brought some of the great classic plays that were done live on shows like Studio One and Playhouse 90, shows like Patterns, Requiem for a Heavyweight, and Marty back on television for the first time since they were presented live on the PBS series The Golden Age of Television. What you didn't know about Sonny Fox, and it only came out in recent interviews before his death, was that in the 1940s, Sonny Fox was a prisoner of war in World War II. He almost did not make it alive, but skin of his teeth he did, and he never forgot his experience, and he put it to good use in his wonderful, terrific way. Sonny Fox passed away this year at the age of 95. And there you have it. Tomorrow we televise Remembers. We acknowledge, we honor, we celebrate, and we pay tribute to every person that we mentioned. This was really an incredible year of people who completed life. But before they completed life, they gave all of us television viewers countless hours of entertainment, engagement, enlightenment, and their hearts and souls. And for that, the TV industry is, and we the viewers, are ever thankful. I believe we have a call, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good afternoon. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. How are you doing today, sir?
Pastor, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. What is on your TV mind this early evening?
Oh, well, the world's about to open back up. This is my message to the world. Everybody get prepared for 2022. We got 6 days until the new year hits. Don't wait for the new year to come. Get prepared now, and then you'll be right in motion for the whole new year.
I love your thought, Pastor. And I think, by the way, on our show Friday, we're going to have Steve Rosenbaum from the New York City Media Lab. We're going to talk about what TV 2022 is going to bring. Personally, to give you a sneak preview, I think it's going to be an incredible year for television. I think it's going to be a year where, because it looks like we are turning the corner on the coronavirus pandemic, it looks like this Omicron variant is nowhere near as deadly, nowhere near involving hospitalization. It's basically minor symptoms like headaches or body aches, which you can take care of with aspirin or Tylenol or Advil. It looks like we are going to turn the corner, and that's going to allow more TV productions to happen, more diversity in the medium. And I also think that this is the year that interactive television is going to bust loose. It started to this year, And I think next year is going to really bust loose now that we have the technology to make it happen in a big way.
Hey, man, I agree with you. And at the same time, it's not just television. It's all internet. It's all digital media technology.
Well, you know, we now have TV sets, smart TVs and smart devices that now have artificial intelligence built in that allow you to control the set with your voice as well as your remote control. And we're now starting to see, I think, the advertising world realize this. That's why we're going to see, I think, interactive advertising is starting to happen. And we're going to see, I think, interactivity happen in a major way. There's a lot of people working on it, and somebody's going to make it happen and make it happen big. And when that happens, you're going to see a lot of people come in behind it. And there's no question in my mind this decade is going to be a decade of interactive TV. And it's going to really be – there were a lot of breakthroughs this year with interactive, for example, fitness service like Peloton, Beachbody, Apple Fitness Plus on the TV set. You saw game services like Google Stadia come on television. You have other things come on too. You can do virtual worlds on the TV set. You got Portal TV from Facebook, which is a TV venture that allows you to augment a reality on the set in storytelling ways that will help kids and adults communicate better with each other. And I think you're going to see telemedicine, teleeducation really bust loose too. It's going to be an amazing, amazing year. And you're going to see some incredible new television series of all different genres, both scripted and unscripted. I'm very, very clear about that.
Amen. Amen. I'm definitely with you, brother. I'm texting the people right now, telling them, come on, get on in. Press the number one on the keypad so you can be included.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor, thank you very much for the call. I deeply appreciate it. Please listen to our show. We'd love to have you on as a regular, you know, as a regular guest to comment on the action. And you're always welcome to ask questions or comments to our guests by phone or chat. It's really a pleasure.
Hey, amen. I'll be right here. I'm listening.
All right. You got it. Take care. Have a wonderful rest of this year and all the greatest to you and your followers in the year ahead.
Amen. You too, brother. Be blessed.
Will do. Take care. All the greatest. That's our pastor.
Amen.
He joined us live this early evening right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Before we leave you and we tell you about what's coming up in our upcoming episodes, two things. First of all, coming up at 8 o'clock tonight, we talked about this last week as a show to know. At 8 o'clock tonight Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on RFD TV, the Cowboy Channel, and One America Network, it's the first ever Helping a Hero Telethon, hosted by Lee Greenwood and Paula Dean. It's an effort to raise funds for more houses from Helping a Hero. It's an organization that builds houses for military personnel that were injured in various armed forces duty. They've already, over the last couple of years, award over 150 homes to veterans across 24 states. And the founder of Bass Pro Shops, Johnny Morris, is now involved in a 100 Homes Challenge. He's going to fund the next 25 of those 100, and this show is going to get the rest of the money for those 100 homes built and completely paid for. A lot of great people will be on the program tonight, Crystal Gale, Debbie Boone, the Oak Ridge Boys, John Connolly, Gatlin Brothers, a whole bunch of people. Again, that's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on RFD TV, the Cowboy Channel, and One America Network, available on cable and satellite, in some cases on multi-channel, multicast channels, and in some cases also on smart TV sets and smart devices. If you missed the program tonight, you can catch on New Year's Day on various networks, including Heartland Network, which is available as a multicast channel. Some places on broadcast, some cases on cable, on your local cable system. And if you don't want to wait until 8 o'clock tonight to make a contribution, you can right now. All you got to do is go to helpingahero.org. That's helpingahero.org. Make any contribution is worth it, and it's deeply appreciated, and you'll be doing a lot for veterans and their families who have served this country well and still do in their own special way. And finally, last night I accidentally caught on a very interesting alternative to Sunday Night Football on ESPN2. It was called World Chase Tag from Great Britain. Believe it or not, there is a worldwide competition which involves tag. You know, like the kids game tag, you're it. But in this case, it takes place in an auditorium in a course, a square, that has all sorts of platforms on it arranged in all sorts of different ways. Two teams play at a time. The object of the game is one person outside the circle at the start. The other person on the other team is inside the circle. And what you have to do is if you're outside, you have to find that person and tag him with your hand. If you do that within 20 seconds, you score a point. If you do, then you switch places. Each round has 16 chances, and at the end of those 16 or before those 16, the one that has the most points goes on to the next round. And ultimately, two teams play for the championship. It is really fun. There's a lot of stamina involved. There's a lot of chasing involved. It's really amazing what these – and these people are athletes, by the way. That's really terrific. I understand that the American Championships were presented on ESPN2 earlier this year. Last night was the Great Britain or England Championships. And I got to tell you, it was well covered, a lot of fun, great camera work. I'd like to see World Chase Tag get more exposure on ESPN2. And maybe, just maybe, there might be a pro league down the road. I could see it happening. So we'll see. If you want more details, of course, go to ESPN.com or ESPN.go.com. Again, I want to thank Judy Kim from our company, UKW Media, for joining us today. We're sorry that we did not get Doug Holloway on, the other co-founder and chief executive officer. Whatever happened with him, we will invite him to come on our show Friday. And speaking of Friday, on our final show of 2021, this Friday, our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, we'll have Steve Rosenbaum. He is the executive director of the NYC Media Lab. Also, our top 5 episodes of the year, the episodes you liked the most and replayed the most on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up 1 week from today, our first episode of 2022 with Brian Richardson, the executive producer of the popular NBC series American Ninja Warrior, and we'll pair him up with one of the competitors for the coming round of episodes, former NFL player Anthony Trucks. Also, next Friday, that's January 7th, we'll have the executive producers of the new CBS series Good Sam that premieres early next month. It's their first scripted series of 2022. It's a combination hospital, workplace, relationship drama. And we'll have executive producers Katie Welsh, Jenny Snyder-Ehrman, and Joanna Klein. And then the following Monday, January 10th, we'll find out about two production companies that are doing big things in 2022. One is Boat Rocker Media. We'll talk to co-executive chairman David Fortier and Ivan Shingberg. And then Crackle and Crackle Plus is now owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, and they plan to have a big 2022 with Crackle, but also doing more original programming, both scripted and unscripted. We'll talk to the president of Crackle Plus, Felipe Gilton. And we have other guests also that we're working on as well. It's all coming your way early in 2022 here, Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage. You can catch up on any or all of our episodes in this year so far. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available also 24/7. All of our podcasts are available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and you get many of our podcasts this year on Apple Podcasts, also on Amazon Music, Burple, and Reason. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about UKW Media and what they're up to now and in the new year? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Are you as optimistic as our pastor who called a few minutes ago is? Well, email me. Love to hear from you. And I do respond to your email in 24 hours. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and where you're mailing from. Remember, that's how you get involved with our classic trivia question of the week. Our first question of 2022 comes your way today. 5 prize in play. Also, you can use that email to be involved in our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We want to give it that attention and you the credit for it, but you have to hear from you first. So email me with that show to know idea. That's, again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We do respond, whether on email or social media, whatever you have in mind. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website name is provided by PodSite, the internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Pinkus. Robbie Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Remember, for a free audiobook or two, health and wellness information, and more, it's audiblechild.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love anytime in the year ahead. Remember, if you decide to become an audible.com subscriber, if you subscribe now, your first 3 months, it's $5.95 a month, way off the usual monthly price. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your 2021. We'll be back with you on New Year's Eve Day, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe. Please make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Get a checkup on where you're at medically. Check out also the new pills from Pfizer and Merck that will be coming out next year. They could be a lifesaver for you. And then make a choice, a great choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.